Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons back here at Fenway Park in our Ford Fenway Clubhouse studios. A beautiful day for a clinching baseball game. I will say that. Dan Ball and I were walking over to the studio, Fitzy, and it is, 77, something like that in late
absurd.
September. It is, like, we were walking by the beer cases, and you're like, wow, what a night to grab a Miller Lite, sit your big butt in a little seat at Fenway Park, and just watch those beautiful green jerseys take to the green field with the green wall and punch your ticket to the postseason.
You know who's doing that, Andy and Fitzy?
Not Andy and Fitzy.
Your good friend Dan Ball this evening. I'm very excited.
Boy,
I wasn't
game.
rooting against the Red Sox last night, but selfishly, you want to see a clinch in person.
And if you want, well, if you want to see it at all, you kind of need to be here in person because it's going to be like the old days, because unless you have Apple TV, poor Josh McDaniels doesn't even know how to log on to an Apple TV account. So half the audience will be listening, like I will be, to Will Fleming on WEEI or the Odyssey app.
And don't forget, if you do have the Apple TV broadcast, you can still change the audio settings and listen to the timed up radio broadcast as you're watching it.
So Josh McDaniels has to call his kids back. Once he gets into the game, he's going to say, hey, kids, can you now, I want to listen to that EEI broadcast. Can you show me how to
do that?
Two-part
call.
Josh, you'll need your kids a couple times. But it is three. Yes, Fitzy.
Well, I was just going to, I wanted to ask Dan Ball, if I may, real quick, before we get 3-point stance. Dan Ball, what is the highest leverage or highest stakes sporting event you have attended vis-a-vis like a clinching game, a playoff game? Have you ever seen a championship in person?
I would say off the top of my head, I saw the Hockey East Championship at TD Garden when Jack Eichel was playing for BU. That was certainly up there. I'd have to think a bit more after that, but that's one that comes to mind right off the tip.
Ted Johnson, what was the biggest sporting event you ever saw?
You know what? I tell you what. I can't believe you asked me that question because it's going to be the subject of my 3-point stance.
Oh, so then we'll save it. All right, it's 3 o'clock. Ted's here. It's time for the 3-point stance.
It's the 3-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bang!
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Pasternak, a hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone. A 3-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's 3-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or you couldn't clinch last night, but now you're back at home and you can, you got to get Glassman. Call all 7s at 617-777-7777. 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, three hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in Boston sports and beyond. Andy Hart, you lead us off here on this segment. You get 60 seconds for your opening stance. Are you ready for that?
100%, my friend.
All right, here is 60 seconds. Go right ahead.
100% is not the number. What the hell was that?
All right, Fitzy, it is your... No, go ahead.
You son of a bitches.
We're having fun. It's Friday.
So the ownership group of the Boston Celtics was on display yesterday. Bill Chisholm, who's the bulk of that $6-plus billion investment operation, was out in front telling us how much he is a Celtics fan and he's going to do anything to help the team. That's great. Love you, Bill. Mean it.
Within reason.
Within reason. We'll see where that goes. And then there was Wick Grosbeck, and I don't really get what Wick is doing. It's like Wick still wants to be the front man. He still wants to be Jimmy Mouth of the South Hart or Bobby Heenan or one of these guys out front of the superstar, but you're not that guy anymore. He owns less than 15% of the team. We know that because he wasn't allowed to be the governor because he didn't own enough of the team. Heck, the Twinkie guy that just bought into the Patriots owns almost as much as Wick, and we're never going to see him as part of the Patriots ownership group because he's not a Kraft. And he was Wick was talking about, I'm going to be here for life. Front row seat, you're not getting rid of me. I got two rings. I want two more rings and all of this. This feels weird to me. This feels awkward. And I know they kind of pushed Mark Cuban out in Dallas. There was sort of that same talk. He was going to be a front man still around. And then they traded Luka. He's like, I would have never done that, but I'm not really part of it anymore. Wick wants to be in the spotlight of the Celtics so bad. And unless Bill Chisholm is a pushover, this isn't going to end well. At some point, he's going to have to be like, listen, I'm the governor. You're the A. Sit down. Be quiet.
I thought it was interesting that you basically asked, like, when there's hard decisions to be made, how's that going to work? And I didn't think his answer was all that clear, concise.
No.
that I felt really good about, I guess he did say he had final say, but he kind of hem and hawed before he got there.
Yeah, so. Kind of like Elliot Wolf said he had final say, and we're right. Not sure he actually has
that's,
final
that's
say.
A good way to put it, yeah.
So the one good thing that I do take from it, though, is maybe while Wick Grosbeck and Bill Chisholm are in some weird, like, rich guy elbowing each other, mm-hmm. maybe Brad Stevens just makes the decision, be like, you guys do whatever you need to do. I'll do what I need to do for the Celtics to be good.
I think what maybe you're feeling and others are feeling is that the fact that we found out when the sale of the team went out that he was – he had less than 1% of the team, or 1%. It was his dad that owned it. And so that took a lot of shine off of him. And now this new deal, he's going to be kind of the face of the team, even though he's not the majority owner.
But it's one thing to be the face of, you're not the majority owner, but your dad is. And so, like, your dad just lets you have the spotlight because he's your dad and that's what dads do, whatever. You know, look at Bill Belichick, look at Bruce Pearl. Dads do things for their kids.
Yeah, dad. I don't think dad has any real desire to be out there.
But Bill Chisholm, who tells me he's a Celtics fan, who has raised a Celtics family, remembers his roots in Georgetown or wherever the hell he's from around here, I don't think he's putting $6 billion up to be in the shadow of Wick Grosbeck in his less than 15%. So I just think at some point this gets weird. And if it gets weird, do we start reading reports of, well, one high-ranking source in the organization said this, and is that Wick Grosbeck with all his media sources because he's not happy that he's being phased out? I'm just telling you, if there are whispers and scandals and mistrust in the organization, it's going to stem from Wick Grosbeck. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's a headline on WEEI.com. In a piece that I believe Megan Ottolini put up earlier, which says, Wick Grosbeck intends to stay courtside with Celtics, quote, forever. Like, all right.
It's weird.
I don't know if that's, is that metaphorically? Like, is that emotionally? Or are you going to always be there reminding us that you were the governor when Banner 18 was hung up and that, you know, you're kind of still part, like, guy, graduate high school. Stop hanging around the hallways. Move on.
He's a guy that went to college and coming back for the high school.
It's pretty good.
That's interesting. What about where's my man Pags? Where's Pags going to be sitting? Does he get front row seat?
No, he's not going to be front
he's
row.
He's out.
I'm not even sure he can get front row when Bill Chisholm brings his WNBA team to Boston, not his team.
I can't imagine that Pags is completely out. So he doesn't own any of the...
Oh, I think he's out. Yeah, no, I think he's kind of out.
I think he lost the bidding, and now he's kind of persona non grata.
He was a different group. He was part of a different bidding group, and Wick made an allusion to that at one point. Like, there were lots of bidders, and some of them my close friends or people, you know, we're tight with, but in the end, we went with the one that we thought was best.
What Pags thinks of old Wick, kind of, feels like he got squeezed out a little
bit. Fruit serum, little fly on the wall. There's some good exposés there. Let's put Andrew Callahan and Doug Kite on that for a Herald expose.
Yeah, right.
we'll see where that one goes. It seems like there's at least a potential for drama, which we love here, but we'll leave that one there. Fitzy, I ask you, are you ready?
The time is nigh.
The time is nigh indeed. Your 60 seconds begin right now.
All right. I'm just going to come out and say it right now. Pats by a lot. No, Pats by a million this Sunday. And there's almost a million reasons why I believe the Patriots are going to win and win big on Sunday. And no, I'm not saying it with the hoodie footy pajamas on. No, I'm not saying it with the Patriots pom-poms or that I'm, the former Foxborough fanboy. There are so many different reasons you should believe why, at least I believe, that the Patriots can and should win and win by a lot this weekend, in addition to the return of Christian Gonzalez, in addition to the ascension of Drake May, in addition to the focus that they'll have put on the turnovers this week, in addition to Carolina not being able to score very many points themselves, being banged up like they were in a team bus accident and having one of the eight worst rush defenses in the NFL. But also, I believe in emotion, I believe in momentum, and I believe that this Sunday, after Mike Vrabel revealed earlier today that defensive coordinator Terrell Williams has been diagnosed with prostate cancer and the team is wishing him the absolute best as Zach Kerr continues to call plays for the defense, I believe, in addition to all of the real football points as to why the Patriots can and should and will win Sunday, they will rally for their defensive coordinator, they will put on a show and play a very emotionally charged game to win one for the coordinator and the fans.
It's going to be an interesting game. It's kind of a hard game to call, really. I mean, you kind of look at,
like, all these
bad, you know, it's yikes. They're bad offense against our bad defense. It's they have a terrible record on the road. We have a terrible record at home.
Yep.
Something's got to give in this game.
And there'll definitely be some emotion, because that's the one thing. I mean, we heard that from Josh 2 weeks ago when we talked to him, when he said, first of all, thoughts and prayers. Like, I saw Giardi tweet out that Terrell Williams is very well liked, respected, loved, not just here, but around the NFL, anywhere he's ever been, anyone who's ever touched him. And anybody, I've only been around him for like 5 minutes total, but he definitely has a little bit of almost like
Rack Romeo. Vibe.
Yes.
Rack vibe.
Where, like, you have that grandpa, I feel good when I'm around this guy. I'm just going to stand next to this guy. He kind of emanates good feeling.
I like Deke. I had Steve Sidwell as my D coordinator. I had Rack. Both guys that you just – We're like grandfather figures to you. You just didn't want to let down. I dig that kind of coaching style, and that certainly is what Terrell Williams is.
And I think maybe they'll get an emotional bump. Maybe they won't, because the only thing I don't know is, as I referenced, 2 weeks ago Josh said thoughts and prayers. So I think internally they may have had a really good feeling kind of what was going on for a few weeks now. Mm-hmm. Now it's public, and he's going to deal with what he has to deal with. I hope you're right, Fitzy, and you'll get some effort there. In one sense, you get Christian Gonzalez back. That should help the defensive effort out there. And then I do think the Panthers might play a willing victim for one of those momentum games where if you can start fast, the crowd's into it, the team is jazzed up, and maybe it could snowball.
And I think it's interesting. I mentioned yesterday the first game that Terrell Williams called, they blitzed, blitz happy against the Las Vegas Raiders. And then the last two games – that were called by Zach Kerr. Is that Kerr?
Yes,
Zach Kerr. The middle linebackers coach who's taken over as play calling duties. Very conservative game plan. So is all we saw in training camp was a very aggressive blitz style from all levels type of defense, and that showed in the first game. And ever since, you know, Terrell's had to step away, the new signal caller, Zach, has kind of gone conservative. Is that going to be the MO moving forward, or – are they going to kind of go back a little bit to where what Terrell was doing? We will see.
Conservative.
I think they get after it this weekend, guys, because the Carolina offensive line, as if not more banged up than the Patriots. Their best tight end, Jatavion Sanders, he's banged up. Xavier Leggett hasn't been great yet, also banged up. Tet McMillan, likely to play, still banged up. And their defense, like we said, up the gut, Vic can be had all day. They're just great on the corners and on the outside. So if the Pats can control the middle of the field, they should go box to wire with this affair.
You can also add Chuba Hubbard, the running back, as another guy who is banged up. So essentially everybody on their offense, except for Bryce Young, dealing with something right now. Before we get to Ted's, Stiz the sounder, please.
Lineup's out. Lineup is out.
We are here at Fenway Park. Red Sox, final regular season weekend. Lineup just real quick. Jarren Duran leads off in left. Trevor Story at short. Alex Bregman at third. Andy's guy, Masataka Yoshida.
Yeah!
In the cleanup spot. Roman Gonzalez at second. Sadon at center. Nathaniel Lowe at first. Willier in right. Carlos Narvaez, your catcher. So it actually seems
playoffs, like baby.
Somehow they've settled in on the nine that they prefer.
That's your playoff lineup right there. Like, Romy has settled in, right? Like, there's a few guys that have settled in. Now, Ted, I didn't care for the face you made when he announced the leadoff hitter.
Well, come on, JD. Let's go. Yeah. Let's go, bud. Let's pick it up. He had a hit last night, but let's...
Well, you know he's the best player in baseball history based on, Dan Ball, I'm scrolling through the stats you gave me earlier. Where the hell... Jarren Duran is the first player in Major League Baseball history to record multiple seasons with 40 doubles, 10 triples, 15 home runs and 20 stolen bases.
No, what do I know?
He stands alone.
What do I know?
He stands alone.
You hear that, Padres? You hear that, A.J. Preller? Best in baseball history.
Jaron, I'm sorry. I said anything negative. My bad.
Jaron for Fernando Tatis. Make it happen. Ted, are you ready?
Brother, I am so ready.
Okay, well,
let's do this.
I can feel it. You're losing the ready.
I am.
I'm so excited.
It is my distinct honor to give you 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, guys, 26 years ago today, I witnessed the best sporting event ever. Do you guys remember the Battle of Brookline, the U.S. Ryder Cup taking on the Europeans at Brookline Country Club, otherwise known as the Country Club? Well, I'm talking about this. Why? Because the Ryder Cup started today. The U.S. is down 1-3 so far in the first day of matches. But let me just take you back to what happened back then. If you will remember, going into the last and final day, Europe was leading 10-6 after 2 days of foursomes and four ball. The U.S. needed 8.5 points out of 12 in the Sunday singles to win the Cup. By mid-afternoons, the Americans surged with wins from players from Hal Sutton, Tom Lehman, Phil Mickelson, closing the gap quickly. But what cinched the win? The 45-foot putt Justin Leonard had on hole 17. He was playing Jose Maria Olazabal, and it was the best putt. It's a dog leg left. I've played that course many times. Short little paw.
Rag.
A little bit. Thank you, Gardner Jackson. And it was just a gorgeous putt. All the family and friends of the U.S. players ran onto the green, and the Europeans freaked out because they still could have had the hole. Jose Maria Olazabal missed that putt to have the hole. The U.S. wins in what was one of the best sporting events, maybe probably the best I've ever attended.
Better than Super Bowl 36?
I played in that. I didn't attend that.
Well,
that seems like a
hot dog and sandwich. One could technically argue you attended it.
You had not attended, they would have needed a linebacker.
Very true, but I would say, other than the football arena, that was the best sporting event I've ever done.
I'll tell you what I didn't remember that you just, like, so they stormed the green and
it
wasn't done?
Nope. Mm-hmm.
So he's potentially putting through footprints and divots
That was the big kind of hoopla was that the Americans were disrespectful and the Europeans leaned into that big time. There was a photographer for the Globe. I can't remember his name, damn it. But he gave me some pictures that he took of the celebration. And I have these. I'll show them to you. I know you're really curious to see those. So
I am. Bring them in.
I'm gonna show those to you. But it was awesome.
Tomorrow.
A great picture of Tiger Woods pouring champagne over Payne Stewart's head.
Wow.
And if
wow.
you remember, it was less. It was only a few months after that Payne Stewart died in an airplane crash.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was just a lot of and you remember they were wearing probably the ugliest shirts you will ever see made for a Ryder
Cup
team.
Yes, I remember
how bad those shirts were.
Oh, yeah, with the awful. Like the photos of I don't know, was it Ryder Cup's past that they
like
were
like a bunch wearing? Of photos on the shirt.
Yeah.
But it was 90s. An incredible weekend and match. And I was always told, here I go again, when I was at the Masters a couple times.
Jesus. They're just spilling.
How many can you squeeze in here?
Yeah, Dan, can you lean over and pick up that brag that Ted just dropped?
Yeah. So I went to the Masters the year before that Ryder Cup, and they said if you ever get a chance to go to a Ryder Cup, it's better than the Masters. And it's hard to argue that. I love it. I love that this year it's at Bethpage Black. If you've ever seen that course on TV, it pops. It's a gorgeous course on TV. So,
and it's public. You can play it if you get there at 1 a.m. or whatever. They have some weird.
That's it. Like Torrey Pines is. Yeah.
You got to get there early. I will say I think this is cooler than the Masters for the simple reason. I think you brought it up yesterday, basically talking like slap a flag on them and give me a backstory and boom.
That's it.
Right. Like we got a little tension, especially in today's day and age where, we need more tension.
Of course. Yeah. But it's been a fascinating time for international competition. I love this. This is my favorite event in golf. Hockey had the Four Nations face off. Baseball has the World Junior Classic. And I know basketball was kicking around kind of adopting what hockey did this year for their All-Star weekend. So I think the more, Fitzy, that you can steer into the international competition, the more that you get out of your athletes that are participating versus an All-Star or something else where guys don't really bring it as much.
Yeah, I mean, all these guys make tons of money. All of them,
in some way, shape, or form end up with hardware, trophies, etc., that they can brag about and, you know, show their kids about and, you know, boast about on WEEI afternoons. But when you get to play for national pride, which is something that many of them say means so much more than just any individual trophy or an oversized novelty check, that's really where you bring out the best in people. And I, you just know how much this matters to these guys. Like, you could see how juiced they are right now. They're down a couple. This is a huge weekend. This matters to all these guys. You know, Rory and DeChambeau, like, these guys are so fired up at this point. I freaking love it. Love the rhetoric. Love the pomp and pageantry. Love the dynamics.
Yeah, I do think at this point, I know some of the numbers thrown around by Liv or whatever are crazy money, but at this point, I don't know that money can really incentivize a lot of these athletes. It is a little pride and not wanting to screw up, not wanting to be remembered for the, you know, remember you had the Dream Team, then it petered out, then they had the Redeem Team coming back to Redeem USA because they were kind of petering out there. Like, once you slap that flag on, there's something real there.
You know what, I think part of it, because we've kind of gotten our butts kicked in this event, and it's I always kind of think it's because in Europe it's country versus country. There's nationalism, right? And it's here it's all one country, right? So there's not, they're over there, there's so much pride in beating each other's countries when they play against each other, where we don't have that same dynamic here. So that when we come to this kind of format, there, I think just there's a grittier kind of feeling that the Europeans bring that I just don't think necessarily the Americans have, that they kind of have to really drum up to get in that headspace to compete with the Europeans, who absolutely love this type of format.
So one more opportunity. Have you played Bethpage Black?
Nope.
Oh, wow.
Oh, nope.
So you're slumming it like the rest of us.
There's a big sign as you enter Bethpage Black that says the slope gives you the slope rating. And it says, basically, if you're not a really good golfer, you probably shouldn't play. So I have no desire to go.
You're not ready yet?
No, I'm good.
The warning sign. Warning, the Black course is an extremely difficult course, which we recommend only for highly skilled golfers.
There you go.
That is the most polite get the hell off my lawn that I've ever read my entire life.
Wow. Something too much for Ted Johnson there. We couldn't squeeze in one more brag.
Yeah, the golf is I love the game.
Love you back?
Does not love me.
It's the best, though. One thing they could do out at Bethpage versus Augusta, I don't know if you guys saw this Instagram infographic. They did a comparison of the Snack Shack prices. Andy, a beer at Bethpage costs 5 times what it costs at Augusta National. 5 times.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't surprise me.
Well, I'll tell you that the ticket to Augusta costs 5 times the ticket to Bethpage. So that's where they get you. And the merch. They get you on the merch, too.
Yep.
Yeah, you're going to pay one way or the other at these things. All right, that's going to do it for 3-Point Stance today here on WEEI Afternoons. Coming up next, as he always does on Fridays at 3:30, we're going to talk to our guy Mike Giardi. And we're going to spring that question on him that I asked these boys the other day. Through 3-plus weeks of the season, who's done their job better, Drake May or Mike Vrabel? We'll find out what Mike Giardi has to say up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending from Fenway Park.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons back here in the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on F-Series, official truck of the Red Sox. Red Sox Tigers tonight. We got
a big one.
Where's your jersey? I wore mine yesterday. See, I got my old City Connect on. I'm ready. I'm showing my merch. I got my garb.
I can't believe Jackson didn't want it because Charlie was like, yeah, you're giving that to me. So my son now has my jersey.
I think my son is spoiled. He's got too many jerseys. I actually went to look. He has a yellow City Connect one, the older City Connect.
Okay.
But I couldn't find it. He must have it away.
I mean, he literally saw me with it, and he was like, you're giving that to me, right?
You can
and
I'm say
like,
no, you know. Be a parent.
Have you ever said no to your kids?
I'm not great at it. My wife's better at it, actually.
Is she tough?
Yeah.
She's tough, huh?
She's better at saying no than I am, for the most part. But, yeah, so it is Fenway Park.
But that's her role, and I think that's our role.
Good cop, bad cop, however you want to play those. Sometimes I guess you got to swap them, depending on the situation.
Can I just tell you, you're talking about the game tonight? There is hype right now. I could, for the first time ever, my boy James at the parking couldn't let me in, couldn't accommodate me.
Oh, no room for Ted.
Too full, had to go to the spillover parking lot.
Wow, big game.
Big game, baby.
Wow, if there's no room for Ted, that tells you something about what's going on.
DJ, sorry, it's clinching game, man. I'm like, it's okay, James. It's all right. Wow. Good.
You know who else is big time? I bet you they'd find room for Mike Giardi. Bet you they'd have a parking spot for Mike Giardi. Joining us now on the phone lines here on WEEI Afternoons from Boston Sports Journal is Mike Giardi. That means it's time for the fancy Mike Giardi intro.
It's time for Mike Giardi.
Stink, stank, and stunk.
The bulging in his disc in his back. The bulging disc in his back.
What do you gain by keeping Bill Belichick around?
I want to see as much Drake May as possible.
Angry Giardi is here.
Wiggy appears to have a bit of a man crush on Cam.
I don't know if you want to take the cheese again.
Mike Giardi, folks, is an angry man.
I'm not pissed today.
I've got you by at least 2 inches.
On Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
Mike, we're not talking about setbacks today, are we?
No, I got nothing to say about nothing.
Okay, so I'm going to pose to you a question. I teased it before the break. I asked these guys the other day, and I think it's an interesting one. Who has done their job better over the last month or so of football here in New England? Drake May or Mike Vrabel?
Drake May.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And you're the guy who said early, before we played any games, but you thought Mike Vrabel was kind of the MVP of the offseason, the MVP of the team, still the face of the team. So Drake May has been better through three games than Mike Vrabel. Is that concerning, surprising? Where do we feel about that?
I don't know if I would use concerning, but it's like Mike is a defensive guy first, and I know he spent a lot of time with the offense during the course of the offseason and the spring and summer to learn Josh's offense and see how, you know, he operates and how Drake operates. But like, defense is his primary thing. And, you know, obviously Terrell Williams, our prayers out to him, the difficult situation he's dealing with there. But, like, Zach Kerr and Mike were running the defense all spring. And then, you know, had an influence on it all summer. And now have taken over the ranks. And, like, it hasn't been great defensively. And, look, and not having Gonzalez is a big deal. But I like the way Drake's played the last couple weeks. And even the first week when I kind of dinged him a little bit, it wasn't like it was some wretched performance. It's just you were expecting more, and I think you're starting to get more. He's now got to take that next step, and that's, of course, not turning the football over.
Mike, it is kind of crazy to think that just about a month ago we would have thought that the defense would have been carrying the team and the offense would be lagging behind, but it's the opposite is true. I mean, the one thing the Patriots defense does well is stop the run. They rank second in opponents' rushing yards per game at 60 per game, but you know, it feels like Christian Gonzalez is going to play in this game, and that offense for Carolina kind of putrid. How do you feel like this defense for the Patriots matches up against that Carolina offense?
This is a game that you should eat, right? Like, I mean, I'm in this. They should open up a can of whoop ass and deliver it. Coming off the disappointing loss, the way it went down, you know, when you control, you know, 85% of that game against Pittsburgh, Carolina's coming off this win that when you actually looked at how the offense played in that game, they didn't really have much to do with it. It was more about their defense and the way Atlanta just kind of threw up on themselves in that contest. So, like, to me, this is a you got to eat, and it starts with those guys up front. They're missing their two of their best offensive linemen. Two of their interior guys are out there on IR. Like, so Milton Williams, Christian Barmore, Kyrus Tonga, who's been low-key awesome.
Yeah, he has.
Yep. Those guys need to eat, and if they do, then I think you're going to get what I kind of predicted, which is the can of whoop ass.
Mike, speaking of people that need to eat or at least be fed, do you think this is the week maybe we see a little more action between Drake May and Steph Diggs? And could you see him maybe shifting into the slot a little bit more if Pop's not going to work out and the legend of Chisholm isn't going to get activated yet?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in favor of that at this point. And again, I'm not sitting here telling you that Steph Diggs is the Steph Diggs of old or even the Steph Diggs of the first half of last year before the ACL. I mean, it hasn't even been a year since the ACL. But what he has been is reliable. He's where he's supposed to be, 15 targets, 13 catches. I'm not expecting, you know, big yak after it, but just get to the chains, get the first down, or get close. Like, you know, Drake has established a pretty good rapport with him early on, even if, again, as I said, he's not the same player. And not all of this has been on Pop. Like, and I've criticized Pop for the lack of feel, and I think that's still a big issue here. But, like, look at the game the other day. There were two of those miscommunications, if you will, that were on Drake. You know, the motion with Pop in the backfield, and, like, that set up perfectly. That was a 25-yard play before he would have had to do anything, and Drake butchered an easy throw in the flat. So, but for whatever reason, that's been the case with them, even dating back to last year. So, I would reduce Pop's role a little bit and see if Diggs' legs can handle more.
Mike, I want to tiptoe through an awkward topic here regarding Diggs and not get into any specifics, but there's a lot of crap out there on social media about Diggs. Different videos and tweets and storylines. And last time he was kind of in trouble, it was about making good decisions, I think, Mike Vrabel said. Something to the effect that make good decisions for yourself, for the football team. Is there any concern that Stephon Diggs is going to end up being a bad decision at some point?
I think that's a wait and see, but I think his past history, Andy, would tell you that, yes, it eventually will be. Whether you can get the full year out of him without it being, you know, and obviously he already had the little incident in the spring, but whether you can get a full year out of him before that happens, I don't know. Like, you're right, there is a lot. Like, you can't even Google his name without stuff that you don't want to see. I don't want to see. Pop it up on Google. Like, no, thank you. Like, I'm good. I just let me know about the football stuff. But as I was writing about him when he talked to us on Wednesday, I pulled up some of those quotes from GQ, which was one off season ago. And, like, it's never his fault. He doesn't own responsibility for anything. I decided I wanted out of Minnesota. They didn't want to lose me. I wanted to be out. Buffalo didn't want to lose me. I wanted to be out. Now, the Buffalo people will tell you something different. I don't know the Minnesota people well enough to know what their thoughts were on it, but, I mean, they didn't hesitate to trade him. So it's sort of been who he is. And maybe at 31, heading into 32, he turns 32, I think, in November, maybe he's maturing. But as you mentioned, when you do the Google searches, you're not really sure that that's what's happening.
Yeah, Mike, you were on that from the very beginning, and you got to watch out for those charming, charismatic guys, man. Those are the ones you got to look out for. But hey, Mike, just curious. One of the big storylines going in this game, of course, is how are they going to play Ramondre Stevenson? He's in the last 2 years, Mike, he's averaging half a turnover a game, which is just insane. How do you think they approach it, and how do you think they should approach it?
I mean, I think he's got to be active because I still think that they probably – well, I don't even think. I think they know he is their best pass protector, and that is why you saw him at a couple snaps late in the game, because even though Trevion came with a great reputation, he's obviously struggled in that regard, and that's not Gibson's forte either. Not that he's bad at it, but he's not good at it. They believe that Ramondre is good at it, so I think you need him in that instance. But to me, it goes Gibson starts, Henderson's – you know, the change of pace guy, and if you got to have pass protection and you want to leave that running back in there, then that's Ramondre.
Trying to look for something that I guess instead of just beating the war drum that it's going to be Pats by a million Sunday, though I'm with you, I do think they should win by a lot. You know, just to play radio for a second, Nick Skorton has given Will Campbell back in college a little bit of the business, and that left side of the line could be a little bit of a question mark this weekend with that matchup right there alongside Ben Brown now having to shift in at left guard. Any concern over there, Mike?
Yeah, sure, because I thought that actually the last 2 weeks, Jared, you know, he went from the weak link in week one to their best offensive lineman in week two, and I thought he had a pretty good performance in week three as well. So you like the sort of path that he was on and the relationship that he has with Will, sort of getting comfortable with each other, and now you're going to insert Ben into this. And not that Ben didn't get a ton of snaps in there, you know, late in the summer, but you know, it's different now. You're game planning and you're facing, you know, some really good players. Derek Brown is a monster. You know, they have three or four guys on that defense that are really a handful that can can ruin things for you, and Derrick Brown would be primary amongst that group. If I'm them, what am I doing? I'm moving. Oh, you got Ben Brown in there? I'm going to move Derrick Brown over Ben Brown. I'm going to get him some snaps there and see how he can cook.
Last one as we get you out the door here. Pop Douglas was the other guy that was kind of in the crosshairs of everybody last week. Don't want to see him anymore. Bench him. Get rid of him. What do you think his status is going to be? Is he still going to have a role, or is it Chisholm time?
I don't think it's Chisholm time yet.
Wet blanket.
Well, I get you. Chisholm, you put him already in the Patriots Hall of Fame. His best work has come against twos, threes, and fours. That's not to say that he can't do it. I do like some of the intangibles of his game. I think he has feel. So, you know, if you're projecting long term, like, he might be a fit in this offense because of that, you know, if the athleticism can go along with it. But I just think it's early. They're still talking about how he doesn't really know how to play outside. And you know how Josh runs his offense. You're not just playing slot. You're going to line up here. You're going to line up there. And they've got to make sure that he's ready to do that before they insert him. So maybe it's coming soon. If Pop continues to be ineffective, or they put Diggs in the slot and they don't get that production that they're looking for, but I'm not there yet.
I'll leave you on this. I'm not sure Pop knows how to play inside or outside, so that makes him equal footing with
Chisholm. Andy, be nice.
He Thank doesn't you. Know which way to run, which way the first Thank down you. Marker is. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah.
See you, Mike. Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, here on WEEI Afternoons, and he's with Fitzy. He seems pretty optimistic about this game. But we need to revisit some of the early answers on Mike Vrabel. I find it a little interesting that some people feel better about the quarterback than the head coach right now. More on that next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Drake May has been better through three games than Mike Vrabel. Is that concerning, surprising? Where do we feel about that?
I don't know if I would use concerning, but it's like Mike is a defensive guy first, and I know he spent a lot of time with the offense during the course of the offseason and the spring and summer to learn Josh's offense and see how, you know, he operates and how Drake operates. It hasn't been great defensively. And look, and not having Gonzalez is a big deal, but I like the way Drake's played the last couple weeks. And even the first week when I kind of dinged him a little bit, it wasn't like it was some wretched performance. It's just you were expecting more. And I think you're starting to get more. He's now got to take that next step, and that's, of course, not turning the football over.
Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, here with us just moments ago on WEEI Afternoon. If you missed it, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Just follow WEEI Afternoons. And I think this is interesting because I think we're all sort of unanimous, the various people we've talked about, the hosts on this show, me, Andy Hart, Ted Johnson, Nick Fitzy Stevens. And if I had told you, what if I told you a couple months ago that 3 weeks into the season, Drake May would be coming off a game in which he threw a red zone interception and fumbled the ball away. The Patriots are 1-2. And people still believe that Drake May is doing his job better than Mike Vrabel, You would have said, you're full of crap. No way. No chance. Right? Like, it's not hard to envision, you know, a world where May is better at his job than Vrabel, but you probably would have thought, oh, wow, he's rolling. He's got like 12 touchdowns in three games, and he hasn't had a single turnover, and he's leading this and leading. But he's played fine. Like, he's had some ups and some downs, and people still think he's doing his job better than Mike Vrabel. Yeah, Giardi didn't want to say concerning, but I think that's kind of concerning, Ted Johnson.
It's very concerning. I mean, look, there are – I totally think people are kind of twisting themselves into a pretzel over the Drake May, because so many people had high expectations for this team going into the season. And the reason that this team was going to be a playoff team was because of Mike Vrabel and the ascension of Drake May in his second year. And so when it's got off to this kind of start, people are trying to find silver linings and just any reason to stay optimistic, particularly about the quarterback. So they're kind of talking themselves into, look, yes, he has had some good signs, but he still, on average, turns the ball over 1.5 times a game.
Yep.
It is it is the number one stat that is that it just kills any real, to me, real argument. There's a lot of people think he's a top 10 quarterback. I mean, he's top 10 in a lot of different categories. I mean, there's a ton of them, and I can't find them now to tell you, but a lot of categories he ranks in the top 10. But yep. That is all for naught when you consider the turnovers, and then you consider how bad the overall offense is being played just in the NFL. That also reflects he's going to rank higher, because I just think overall just offenses are down and quarterback play is down across the league. So you got to keep all of that in mind when you're assessing Drake May.
617-779-7937. We need to go to our buddy Brandon in Boston, because he's got a hot take that Ted Johnson's not going to like. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So thanks for taking my phone call. But evidently, man, I think guys are missing the facts that this head coach is really not that good. I mean, we're talking about a head coach in Mike V that hasn't been to the playoffs since two consecutive seasons in 2022-2023, right? He hasn't made the play. Oh, the last time he made the playoffs was 2021, right? And then you get fired by them in 2023, right? And to say that Drake May is even better than Mike V, they're at the same level. They haven't accomplished nothing, really. I mean, Mike V and Drake May really have to step it up and try to make some type of story, you know, that we are making strides and we are, you know, winning games or trying to make it to the playoffs. Right now, they're not doing jack squat, right?
All right, thanks for the call, Brandon. You didn't land the plane where your subject line said. Your subject line said if they don't win this game on Sunday, firing Vrabel has to be on the table.
Yeah, I think that's silly.
What?
I think that's great, Brandon. And I love your takes, man, because you just they're never really, you know, like anything I've ever heard sometimes. but bring them. I love it. But I will say this: if they lose this game, It is not going to be fun around here next week, because this is very much a winnable game. They should win this game. How do you got to separate yourself from the bad teams? And if you're pointing in the right direction, that offense is so bad for Carolina. Please, you cannot lose this game. If they start 1-3, I don't think people are going to be calling for this job, but the Heat's going to certainly get turned up.
We're going to look at that game coming up. Patriots, Panthers, two bad football teams, a bad home team, a bad road team, some young quarterbacks, all kinds of storylines, and some Ted Johnson keys, a little build-up to Patriots, Panthers Sunday at Gillette Stadium. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.